It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
There are major problems facing healthcare and medical entities today. Are some of the false medical beliefs that even doctors believe in causing poor healthcare? My guest is Dr. Ty Vincent. He's an integrative physician. He's trained in full spectrum family medicine. So, Dr. Vincent, let's talk about some of these medical beliefs that even some of you doctors might believe in. Give me one you've heard the most.
Wow, one I've heard the most. I don't know. One of the things that comes up a lot is the belief that cholesterol is bad for you. That's probably the most common thing I have discussions with. And then,
oh, we could do a whole show on that, Dr. Vincent.
Right.
I had a guest recently who just wrote a book called The Great Cholesterol Myth.
Right.
And so that's a whole thing. Okay, so cholesterol, we could talk about that for hours.
There are a variety of other drugs that people like to use as well that I have issues with.
For example, statins?
Statins for the cholesterol, but acid-reducing drugs for people with reflux, antidepressants for people with symptoms of depression without the doctor looking for a cause of their depression. There are a list of common medications.
Okay, so acid reflux. Obviously, the word antacid is a bit ironic when we need our acid to digest our food.
Exactly.
So as an integrative physician, you recommend, because people want answers to some of these medical myths, as it were. I always like to tell people digestive enzymes, probiotics, and regulating the pH, whether that's vinegar or whatever you use. I mean, what do you tell your patients when they say, I've got all this acid reflux, I need an antacid?
Right. No, you're absolutely right as in terms of addressing digestion more from a more holistic and functional perspective there. I tell them that probably the most common reason to have the acid reflux in the first place is food allergy or is food sensitivity. And we try to look for that. People are often eating the same kinds of things every day and having these symptoms, and they don't realize that it's caused by the thing that they eat all the time. And what a lot of people don't realize, and certainly conventional doctors don't realize, is that the majority of patients complain of acid reflux actually don't produce enough stomach acid. And as you mentioned, controlling the pH is vital, and we suggest people use apple cider vinegar or even betaine hydrochloride capsules to increase the acidity of their stomach. The problem they're having is that the acidity in the stomach is too low, not too high, and that doesn't trigger the lower esophageal sphincter to close properly, and then they reflux. Because the problem with acid reflux is not the acid, it's the reflux.
See, and I am so right on the page with you, but people are really, and even a lot of GI doctors are hesitant. There's still acid effects, and here you go, and you know.
Right. And they tell them to take it for their entire life.
They do.
Indiscriminately. It's horrible, horrible medicine. These drugs now have a known list of side effects and long-term complications, including osteoporosis, magnesium deficiency, B12 deficiency, bacterial overgrowth, Clostridium difficile diarrhea. I mean, these things are all very clearly proven now. And conventional doctors are still just telling people to take these medications for the rest of their life.
Let's talk about antibiotics. You know, certainly overused. We're an over-sanitized society, and I feel that we've even seen more autoimmune diseases because of the over-sanitization with sanitizers and hormones and antibiotics in the food. And so what do you think about the use of antibiotics people run even just for viruses?
Right. You know, there's no doubt, and everybody in medicine has known this for decades now, that we overuse antibiotics. And what isn't talked about as much is that the vast majority of antibiotics in this country are actually given to animals, given to livestock. And so the bacterial resistance problem in the population at large is mostly one of veterinary use or livestock use of antibiotics. But in humans themselves, the doctors, most of the time, what I hear from my colleagues and my impression on this is that they're doing it because they think they're providing good customer service. Their belief is that the patient shows up with a cold or with a bronchitis, and they expect to leave with an antibiotic prescription. And the doctor feels like if they don't do that, they're not serving the patient. But then if you look at the statistics, the majority of antibiotic prescriptions given in that setting never get filled because that's not what the patient wants. They just want an answer and somebody to talk to them and explain to them what they think is going on and whether or not they really need an antibiotic or not. So there's a disconnect between what the provider thinks the patient wants and what the consumer actually wants. There's a lack of communication.
I agree completely. Now, what about homeopathy? And do you think that the science community is rejecting some of these integrative, and now we use the word integrative, complementary, as opposed to alternative or Eastern Western or, you know, even homeopathic these days? It's now integrative and complementary. Do you think that we're going that way? Dr. Vincent, do you think that people are still rejecting it for one reason or another?
Well, if the word we includes you and I, then yes, we are going that way. But the medical education is not. And it's mostly because medical education is still, by and large, controlled by pharmaceutical companies. And they don't want you using things like homeopathic agents. The other big barrier in this country is just a lack of understanding. Conventionally trained doctors, and actually the public in general that's very Western-minded, has no idea how homeopathic remedies work. Even though we have in the literature a great number of placebo-controlled randomized trials, which is the gospel of evidence-based medicine, showing that homeopathic remedies work for a variety of illnesses and complaints, conventional doctors still don't embrace it because they don't understand how they work, and they frankly just don't believe in the way they're supposed to work, because they're actually energy medicine in a little sugar pill, and that concept completely evades the American medical understanding. I actually use homeopathics a fair amount, certain things in particular, and I have a bioenergetic machine that evaluates bioenergetic frequencies on a homeopathic basis by attaching its leads to the patient, and can actually provide homeopathic correction by administering these frequencies back to people. It's an amazing device.
Wow, and what do you think about, so does this device in particular help people figure out what they're lacking as far as hormones or supplements or vitamins or minerals, all that sort of thing?
Well, it's not quite as straightforward as you'd like to think. What the machine can tell you is if you have a disturbance in a given frequency, and then clinically you have to use the rest of your skill set to decide if that means the patient is deficient or has excessive, or if the body is just not processing it right, because it can't really tell you that you have too little, too much, or you're just not using it. It just tells you there's a disturbance in that frequency. And then, so it's a tool to use it with all of your other clinical skill.
So talk about supplements for just a minute, Dr. Vincent. Do you feel that supplements in our society now, because maybe our food is not grown in the same way, pesticides and insecticides and all of these things have changed the nature of the soil, and so our fruits and vegetables and things are not the same as they used to be. So do we need to be supplementing?
Well, there are various reasons to supplement. What you're touching on is nutrient deficiency, and that specifically addresses, I think, mineral content. What's really been depleted over the last few generations in our soils is minerals like zinc and manganese and chromium and things like that, the sort of trace minerals that people aren't getting. And I do recommend that people take a multivitamin and mineral supplement mostly for the minerals because of that. We have lots of documented deficiencies in the population of things like zinc and magnesium that are widespread. The other things that people generally need to supplement, in my opinion, are vitamin D, probably most of all, first and foremost, what I tell people to supplement with, because it isn't in our food supply and never was. And people are just grossly deficient all across the country now. Also, essential fatty acids. Our diets in the modern era, I think one of the biggest discrepancies compared to older indigenous diets, if you will, is the balance of fatty acids. So I generally see people benefiting from fish oil or some other omega-3 essential fatty acid supplementation.
And in the last 20 seconds, give people some information where they can find out more information.
Boy, if you're looking at nutrition, I think the Price-Pottinger Nutrition Foundation is a great place to look up. It's a lot of information for the public. There are so many good authors out there now. I have to, of course, mention my own book, Thinking Outside the Pill Box, which has an extensive list of different topics included in there for everybody. I think there's something.
Thank you so much. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD, and stay well.